Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ashabihi ajma'in wa ba'd. Sound is okay? You guys have the tafsir up on the screen? Okay. Can somebody talk? Let me know, see if your sound is working. No, because I'm going to ask you some questions. Say so. You guys got a mic hooked up? Okay, meanwhile, I'll start, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah, ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. I wanted to ask if anybody remembered the last point we covered last time. We were talking about not preferring some of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over others. This was mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 253. Ibn Kathir states, Allah has stated that He honored some prophets over others. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said elsewhere, وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ زَبُورًا. And indeed we have preferred some of the messengers over others, and to Dawood we gave the Zabur, the name of the book given to Dawood. Good, Zach, inshallah, I'm going to ask a question in a minute. These messengers, we preferred some of them to others. To some of them Allah spoke directly, meaning Musa and Muhammad, tilka rusulu, and also Adam, according to a hadith in Ibn Hibban from Abu Dharr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَاتِ, and others He raised in degrees, as is evident in the hadith about Isra and Mi'raj, when the Prophet ﷺ saw the prophets in various heavens according to their rank. And the question here is, if somebody asks about the meanings of these verses and the hadith that is in Muslim and Bukhari, which we talked about last time, when a Muslim man and a Jew had an argument, and the Jew said, "No, by Him who gave Musa superiority over all human beings." Hearing him, the Muslim man raised his hand and smacked the Jew in the face and said, "You mean over Muhammad too, you evil one." The Jew went to the Prophet ﷺ and complained to him about this, to which the Prophet ﷺ said, "La tufaddiluni ala al-anbiya," do not try to give me superiority over the prophets, for the people will become unconscious on the day of resurrection, and I will be the first to be resurrected to see Musa holding to the pillar of Allah's throne. I will not know whether the unconsciousness which Musa suffered in this world on the day of the trumpet sufficed for him, or if he got up before me. So do not give me superiority over the messengers. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not give superiority to some prophets over others. The answer to this question is that the hadith prohibits preferring some messengers above others in cases of dispute and argument, such as the incident mentioned in the hadith. The hadith indicates that it is not up to the creation to decide which of Allah's prophets are better, for that is Allah's decision. The creation is only required to submit to, obey, and believe in Allah's decisions. And this is a very important point for da'wah. I think some of us, you know, some Muslims lose this point. And you could see that sometimes when, for example, Brother Abdul Ahad was talking in great detail about Isa alayhi salam. And, you know, some Muslims had sort of an instinctive reaction, you know, why is he talking so much about Isa, you know, instead of Muhammad alayhi salam. It's important to remember in giving da'wah and talking to, you know, Muslim and non-Muslim, that from our perspective, all of the messengers of Allah are messengers of Allah. لا نفرق بين أحد منهم. And we don't make any distinction between them, because all of them came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And otherwise it could lead to, in other words, we cannot be as the other people are. For example, when you deal with a Christian, they will try to say, you know, what was Muhammad? Muhammad was a camel driver. Muhammad did this. He married too many women. He married one wife too young. And you know, their reaction is to defend, you know, in kind, and this is a big mistake. And rather, we must remember that we love and honor and obey Isa and Musa and Ibrahim more than any Christian and Jew. The difference between us is that they have the wrong information about these same individuals. It's not the difference between us that they follow one and we follow another. Inshallah, we follow all of them, and they follow a fantasy in books which were tampered with and concocted. Is that point clear? Assalamu alaikum. Try the mic, please. Okay, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. Let me check this computer out. Hold on. Keep talking if you can. Okay, well, I guess sound's not going to cooperate on this computer. Anyway, get down to inshallah where verse 254 appears in the what's on the website, and this is the next verse we're going to start today, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقكم. As the Al is missing. مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون. Very interesting verse at the end here. O you who believe, spend of that which we have provided for you before a day comes when there will be no bargaining, nor friendship, nor intercession. And it is the disbelievers who are the wrongdoers. Try the mic one more time, please. I think I just fixed them. Well, never mind. It's not working. I'm going to need you to type if you need to say something. And the first part of this verse is very clear, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us many places in Quran to spend in the path of Allah, meaning in sadaqah, in the establishment of the deen, in jihad, etc., of what you have been given in preparation for that day. Now here's the tricky thing, so I hope somebody's ready to type there. On a day when there is no bay'ah, there is no bargaining, wala khullah, nor friendship, wala shafa'a, and no intercession. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that there's no intercession, when we know on Qiyamah that there will be intercession from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from others? I guess the sound doesn't work, so somebody can type. Does anybody know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying wala shafa'a, no intercession, and yet we know in fact on that day there is going to be intercession? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking here in the context of doing good deeds in preparation for that day. Okay, so the shafa'ah that takes place is not something that you can prepare. It's not something that you can count on, or that you can say, because I did so and so for Wali Allah, Sheikh so and so, his shafa'ah is going to be there. So it's not something that you can prepare. Shafa'ah is going to happen, but as we're going to see in a few eyes in the future, only to those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen and they can only speak for the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them permission to speak for. No one has any power whatsoever to make intercession before Allah, and no intercession is going to change any decree of Allah or is going to be made for anybody that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not already decided intercession would be made for. Therefore, it's not among the things that you have any control over or that you can try to prepare for in the hereafter. Allah commands His servants to spend for His sake in the path of righteousness for what He has granted them, so that they acquire and keep the reward of this righteous deed with their Lord. Let them rush to perform this deed in this life before a day comes, من قبل أن يأتي يوم, meaning يوم القيامة, of course, لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة, and there will be no bargaining, nor friendship, nor intercession. This verse indicates that on that day, no one will be able to bargain on behalf of himself or ransom himself with any amount, even if he has the earth full of gold. Nor will his friendship or relation to anyone benefit him. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah 23, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. Then when the trumpet is sounded, there will remain no kinship among them on that day, nor will they even ask about one another. وَلَا شَفَاعَةٌ, nor intercession, meaning they will not benefit by the intercession of anyone if they have not sent forth the good deeds, which are the actual thing that can help them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we talked about that, وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ, the disbelievers, they are the wrongdoers. Indicates, first of all, that there is no injustice greater than to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Qiyamah while being a disbeliever. Ibn Abi Hatim recorded that Ata ibn Dinar said, Alhamdulillah, who said, Al-Kafiruna hum al-Zalimun, listen carefully to this, but did not say, and the other way around, it is the wrongdoers who are the disbelievers. That's a kind of a subtle point. He said, praise be to Allah, who said, it is the kafirs who are indeed the oppressors. And if he had said it the other way around, وَالْظَالِمُونَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ, it would be much more severe of a statement, because it would mean that Muslims who commit ظلم would in fact be kufar, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say it in that way. Now we come to, inshallah ta'ala, to Ayatul Kursi, which will start for 15 or 20 minutes and finish next week, bidnihi ta'ala. Allahu la ilaha illa hu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no deity but Him. Al Hayyul Qayyum, the ever living, the self subsistent. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm, He is never overtaken by drowsiness nor sleepiness. Lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard, to Him belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earths. Man dhalladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi idhnih, who is it that could ever make any intercession in His presence except by His permission? Ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum, He knows all that is before them and all that is to come after them. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ, and they cannot encompass or gain any of His knowledge except for that which He decides they will get. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, His throne encompasses, or His chair encompasses the heavens and the earth. وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حَفْظُهُمَا, and He is never tired for preserving them. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ, and He is the High and the Great. The virtues of Ayatul Kursi. This verse is called Ayatul Kursi and has tremendous virtues associated with it. An authentic hadith describes it as the greatest verse in the Book of Allah. Imam Ahmed recorded that Ubay ibn Ka'b said that the Prophet ﷺ asked him, what is the greatest verse in the Quran? And Ubay answered, Allah and His Messenger know best. When the Prophet ﷺ repeated his question several times, insisting on an answer, Ubay said, Ayatul Kursi. The Prophet ﷺ answered, لِيَهْنِيَكَ الْعِلْمُ أَبَى الْمُنْذِرِ, congratulations on your knowledge, O Abu Mundir. والذي نفسي بيدي إن لها لسانا وشفتين. By He in whose hand is my soul, this verse has a lip, has a tongue and two lips. تقدس الملك عند ساق العرش, with which it praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the leg of the throne. So the Prophet was asking Abu al-Mundhir, not the other way around, to tell him which is the greatest verse in the Quran, and he knew the answer and told him Ayatul Kursi. Let's skip over the next narration because there's a better one after it that tells the same story. A story, inshallah, we all know, but we'll go over it for a review. So Al-Bukhari recorded in his Sahih that Abu Huraira said, the Prophet assigned me to keep watch over the sadaqah of Ramadan, a bunch of dates. A person snuck in and started taking handfuls of food. I caught him and said, by Allah, I will take you to the Messenger. He said, release me, for I am weak and have many dependents and I am in great need. I released him, and in the morning the Prophet ﷺ asked me, what did your prisoner do yesterday, O Abu Huraira? I said, O Allah's Messenger, he complained of being needy and having many dependents. So I pitied him and let him go. The Prophet ﷺ said, indeed he told you a lie and he will be coming again. I believed that he would show up again, for the Prophet had told me that he would return. So I watched for him. When he showed up and started stealing handfuls of food, I caught hold of him and again said, I will definitely take you to Allah's Messenger. He said, leave me, for I am very needy and have many dependents. I promise I will not come back again. I pitied him and let him go. In the morning, the Prophet ﷺ asked me, what did your prisoner do last night, O Abu Huraira? I replied, O Messenger of Allah, he complained of his great needs and of too many dependents. So I took pity on him and set him free. Allah's Messenger said, he has told you a lie and he will return. I waited for him attentively for the third time. And when he came and started stealing handfuls of the food, I caught hold of him and said, I will surely take you to Allah's Messenger, as it is the third time, and you promised not to return, yet you return. He said, let me teach you some words which Allah will give you benefit from. I asked, what are they? He replied, when you go to bed, recite Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyu al-qayyum, until you finish the whole verse. If you do so, Allah will appoint a guard for you who will stay with you, and no shaitan will come near you until morning. So I released him. In the morning, the Prophet ﷺ asked again, what did your prisoner do yesterday? I replied, O Messenger of Allah, he claimed that he would teach me some words by which Allah will grant me some benefit, so I let him go. The Prophet asked, what are they? I replied, he said to me, whenever you go to bed, recite Ayatul Kursi from beginning to end. Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyu al-qayyum. He further said to me, if you do so, Allah will appoint a guard for you who will stay with you, and no shaitan will come near you till morning. One of the narrators then commented that they, the companions, were very keen to do good deeds. The Prophet ﷺ said, Sadaqa wa huwa kadhub. He spoke the truth, although he is a constant liar. Do you know to whom you were speaking these three nights, O Abu Huraira? Abu Huraira said, no. He said it was shaitan. And Nasa'i also recorded this hadith in Al-Yawm wa Layla. On your own time, inshallah, read the hadith that comes before it, that is narrated from Imam Ahmed. And this is probably a very good example of a weak hadith. It's without much doubt a weak hadith, and you can see sort of how the story degenerates when you compare that to the version in Muslim, where Abu Huraira thought he was speaking to a man, and in the weak hadith you see that it's a female, and that it's referred to as a ghoul. So Abu Huraira knew the whole time he was speaking to a jinni or a jinniya. And inshallah, that's not the correct version. We would stick to the one that's in Sahih Muslim. Allah's greatest name is in Ayatul Kursi. What's Allah's greatest name? Somebody over there, type it in. This is it, you never heard that? No answer? Imam Ahmed recorded that Asma bint Yazid bin Asakan said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ say about these two verses, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, and Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. No, that's Huda al-Muttaqeen. That's not, that can't be right. Okay. إِنَّ فِيهِمَا إِسْمُ اللَّهِ الْأَعْظَمُ. That's got to be a typo. There's a better one coming up. Let me see the next one. There's also a narration collected by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and others. Furthermore, Ibn Mardawi recorded that Abu Umama reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, here we go, Ismullah al-Azam, the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alladhi idha du'a bihi ajab, with which when he is supplicated, he answers, Fi thalathi surah. It is in three different places. Surah Al-Baqarah, Al-Imran, and Taha. It's in these three surahs. Okay? Hisham ibn Ammar, one of the narrators of the above narration, said, and as for Al-Baqarah, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum, ayat al-kursi. And as for Al-Imran, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. How could that be? Oh, they cut it off. That's what it is. So it goes on. La ilaha illallah, but ever living. Al Hayyul Qayyum is in there. Anyway. Well, in Taha, sorry about this, it's printed wrong. It is in Wa'anat al Wujul al Hayyul Qayyum. Anyway, all three of these verses contain Al Hayy and Al Qayyum. And all faces shall be humbled before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ever living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists. So, I don't know how these verses got truncated here. This needs to be looked up, I guess, on your own time. And I hope you're all familiar with the fact that this greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the things that the Sufis have gotten a hold of. And they looked at the three verses, and I guess they didn't notice Allah and Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum, which is in all three verses. But they only noticed Huwa, which is not even a name, and they came to this corrupt philosophy that the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Huwa, which means He. And I commented before the irony of that and the silliness of that, because one of the main things that Sufis and mainstream Muslims disagree about is their concept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere, and that He's right here with us, and He's close, and you merge into Him and become one with Him. And whereas the Muslims believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is separate from His creation, above His creation, and not part of it, and not intermingled with it, and yet they choose Huwa, which is a third person pronoun, to be the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very interesting historical irony there. Somebody's calling it up. Ayat al-Kursi has 10 complete statements. Assalamu alaikum. Zaki, try your mic again. I'm going to try to get to work here. Where the heck is that coming from? Nothing, I'm afraid. You guys all ready to go? Get home. Okay, Assalamu alaikum. Everybody's getting ready to leave down here. I apologize for the hour and a half delay. Inshallah, I'm not going to let that happen again. We're going to stick by our 11 o'clock. So, sorry for the great delay, but I guess you guys got together, inshallah. So, I guess we'll see all three of you in 2 weeks, inshallah. And we're going to pack up and start driving north. So, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.